Help! I Suck at Dating with Dean Ungler, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, welcome to episode 11 of Help! I Suck at Dating. I hope you're staying warm in these chilly December months. We're going to have a fun episode today. Basically, what we're going to be doing is fielding listener emails, listener conversations, phone calls, all that kind of stuff. And we are going to start off by taking Anna from Minneapolis. Hi, Anna. This is Dean. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling in. What question do you have?
Okay, so we're talking about, like, dating advice, right?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm in college, and, like, all semester, I have, like, sat by this guy in my class, and I knew him from last year, and, like, in the summer, we would, like, Snapchat occasionally, but we were, like, in different states and whatever. So he's, like, a friend, I guess. But, like, I've always felt like we just, like, we have this connection. Like, I could, like, literally, like, see him. Like, he's, like, I feel like he's, like, my other half. And it's so weird because, like, normally I would never obsess over anyone like this. Like, I never have. But, like, and we've, like, we've never hung out. Like, we've never... Like, it's only a class thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yet, I feel like I, like, know him so well, and we get along so well. And I've just, every time I go to class and come home, I'm just like, oh, my God, like, you know?
What about, like, at parties and stuff?
I've only, like, so we're both in, like, Greek life, but I've only seen him, like, I don't go to his frat that much. And, like, when I did, it was just, like, I don't know, like, am I just friend-zoned?
Well, so what's stopping you from trying to hang out with him one-on-one outside of class?
I feel like, why wouldn't he be the one, like, asking me, you know?
Like, maybe he's just shy about it?
I don't know. Like, it's either, like, I've, like, gone through this, and I don't know if he thinks, like, I'm, like, too cool and, like, I wouldn't be interested, but I feel like, you know, like, I feel like it's just so weird because, like, we have so much in common, and, like, I feel like we're, like, our personalities are, like, go so well together.
Well, I think you definitely need to hang out with him because it's. I think that the veil of mystery of thinking you know a lot about someone, even though you only have, like, Snapchat conversations or you only spend, you know, X amount of time with him in class, you're allowed to, like, make up a lot of things about him that you think he is that you like. So it's like the more you get to know him, the less you'll be able to fill in the blanks for yourself. And I think that's where you should definitely start. Maybe just, like, ask him out for, I don't know if you're over 21, maybe ask him out for a drink, just for a cup of coffee, or even just, like, ask him to study with you in the library. I was telling this story earlier on this episode too, or I guess not on this episode. I was telling this story earlier about this girl in college that I was, like, obsessed with. It was very similar to what you're saying. You know, we would Snapchat a lot.
Okay.
I was, like, obsessed with her. I thought that we were, like, going to be in love and get married and blah, blah, blah. And so it was just a matter of, like, building a friendship and just, like, spending as much time with her as possible, but doing it, like, platonically and around friends and, you know, making sure that all of that kind of stuff checks out. And then after the fact, she had a boyfriend at the time. She broke up with her boyfriend and then we started dating. And even at, like, the beginning of dating her, I was like, this girl is going to be my wife. I'm going to marry her. And then, like, six, seven months later, it kind of fizzled because it wasn't necessarily what I expected it to be. Not for lack of either of us trying or being good people. It just wasn't, we didn't have the chemistry that I anticipated us having. And it sounds like you think that you and this guy are going to have a lot, but you're not really going to know it until you spend some time with him.
Yeah, and okay, so do you think that you kind of, like, played it up in your head, like, and you thought, like...
Oh, absolutely. I think even whenever my friends talked about it, my friends all knew that I had, like, this huge crush on her. They would constantly bring her up, and I would, like, constantly, like, talk very highly of her. So it's like the more you associate positive words with this person, the more that you begin to build them up in your head. And there's nothing wrong with
that,
of course. I think that you really need to dedicate and commit some time to it.
Anna, this is Mark, Dean's producer. He's absolutely right. I think you are building this guy up too much, but it's so frustrating what you're going through when you feel like there's a real connection here, but he won't do anything about it.
Exactly. And I'm like, well, I'm not going. You know, it's like that feeling of, like, well, if he's not going to, I don't want to.
Well,
why
don't you, though? I think if you feel so strongly about it, I think that you should take the initiative.
Guys are really afraid of rejection.
So
they don't want to admit it, but they're really afraid of rejection. And everybody is. But it's on guys to do the act of asking out most of the time. And every time I ever asked anybody out, I felt like I wanted to throw up. I was so nervous. He's not going to for whatever reason.
Hey.
You need to be empowered. We want to empower you and find a way to do it that's not like, I love you, I want to go out with you. That's more casual. Maybe there is a college campus situation that you need to bring a date to that you could ask him.
Wait, to make it easier than that, you guys said you have the same classes together, right?
Yeah. And we ride the bus home. So I'm always like, oh my God, I could totally just tell him, like, do you want to come over and study? But I always get too nervous.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm sure you have like friends that you study with. I always got like butterflies in my stomach whenever this girl would ask me to study with her and her friends. And again, I know from her perspective, it was solely just to have more people to study with. But you can study in a room with like four or five of your friends, maybe some of his friends. If there's like a group of like six of you guys and you're all studying together, like it allows you to hang out with him with so much less pressure than having him come over by himself and study with you.
I love you guys on the bus together talking, like looking at your textbook, like saying like, I'm not so sure. And then as you get to your stop, you're like, hey, you want to come in? There's a study area right in here.
Oh, trust me. I've had this planned out. Like, this is what I'm going to do. And then I just don't. I get nervous. But do you think that, like, if you do that, if you play, like, the platonic, like, route and you're like, oh, like, we'll be, like, better friends first, then are you, like, in danger of getting stuck in the friend zone?
I personally don't think so. I know that people will have those worries. I think that if you're confident in it and you're confident in yourself and you're confident in your potential relationship with him, then there wouldn't have to be a fear of a friend zone. And if there is a friend zone, then it just wasn't necessarily meant to be. But I've never really... I mean, I've definitely been in the friend zone before, right? But I just think that if you're confident enough in yourself, then it's not really something you should have to worry about.
Yeah, I agree with that. Do you think that, like, do you think he's already friend zoned me in his mind, though?
No.
Like, do you think that that happens? Like, do you have people who, like, you're just like, oh, they're just friend zoned?
I mean, yes, of course I've friend zoned people before, but I don't think that he's friend zoned you. Again, I don't know enough about the situation, but it sounds like it hasn't been the case.
So you're saying I just need to go for it. And so
one of you does. And I think you take it upon yourself to be you. Because what is the worst that could happen?
I guess he would just say no.
Yeah, he's not interested. And then you can move on with your life.
That's true. And I think getting that like yes or no answer is way better than the like what if.
And you also need to know more about this guy before you decide if he's as magical as you think he is. And this is the way to do it.
That's why I say
you're really right.
That's why I'm saying I don't think it's going to be a yes or no right away. It's going to be, let's hang out and see what we can, I don't know. Like, if you guys really have this strong connection, like you're saying, which it sounds like you do, I think that there will be, he'll have every interest in hanging out with you. Unless, I don't know, maybe he's dating someone else. I don't know if you're dating anyone. But I think that you definitely have to give it a shot. And it's not going to be as objective right away. It's going to be like a slow process. It's not going to happen overnight. But
I have a good feeling about this one.
I've got a great feeling about it.
I don't know. I do.
Oh, my God.
I think he's just shy or oblivious, which guys are both of those.
Dean from The Bachelor said that I have to ask you to hang out now.
You have to. Hey. Do you want me to DM him for you?
No.
Do it. Send me his Instagram handle. I'm DMing him right now.
Oh, my God. No, I'm not.
All right, Anna. Well, good luck. I think you honestly need to extend the olive branch and see, but make it like light. Like I said, make it like if you guys could study together or something. I'm sure you have midterms coming up with winter break and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I've already thought about it. Like we're playing the long game here, but I have to like make a move, I guess.
Make the move.
The long game is okay, but eventually you're going to want to make a move. And I would say to do it before you leave for the holidays so you have somebody to text while you're gone.
Absolutely. And if he denies you, just tell him that it was my fault and that you were just kidding.
Okay, I totally will.
All right, well, good luck with everything.
Great. That gives me some awesome confidence.
You got this, girl.
Thanks for talking to me.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Allie from Alabama, thank you for calling in. How are you?
Hey, Dean, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
Okay, so I was in one serious long-term relationship, and we broke up a couple of years ago. So we did about 3 years, and ever since then, it's like I go on dates with guys, and I really like them at first, and then it's kind of like I'll pick out a flaw or two and just kind of start fixating on them and just start, like, pushing them away. So I don't know, like, what is that?
I do that. I'm guilty of that. I think that everyone kind of just inherently does that a little bit. I think that, like, what kind of flaws are you picking on? Like, what do you...
Just, like, I'll find some sort of personality flaw. I mean, it depends on the guy, really. And, like, okay, I'm really not superficial, but this one guy, like, I really liked him. And I usually date guys, like, 6 foot and over, but he's really short, and I just can't get past it. I know that's, like, so bad, but
I mean, it's a little superficial, but I don't think it's necessarily bad. Like, you definitely have a taste in men, and if they have, if you prefer taller men, then that's just what you prefer. Yeah. I think the whole like nitpicking negative qualities, it's probably like a defense mechanism. You kind of find you're, because I do this too. And again, this is kind of maybe what I'm speaking to is, you will see yourself like getting closer to this person, and then you get scared of that, and so you find negative qualities to kind of let yourself move in the opposite direction. But at the same time, you shouldn't, if you're looking for the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with, I don't think you should necessarily be pinpointing these negative qualities. I don't think that you should even be able to notice a single negative quality in this person. I'm less of an authority on this because I'm 26 and single, but Mark in studio has been married for 20 years. Maybe he can give you a little bit of advice.
I mean, look, you got to focus on what you think is important. There's got to be a few things, and maybe height is one of them, and that doesn't necessarily make you superficial. As long as you don't have a list that's 100 things long, I think you need to know what the real deal breakers are for you. How old are you, if you don't mind my asking?
I'm 22.
Yeah, you're 22. So I think you can have these standards when you're 22, and there's nothing wrong with that. You want the perfect guy. Yeah. But I do think Dean's right. It is a fear of commitment. And when you're 22, that's okay. But you're finding ways to get out before you have to open up too much. So there may be some deeper psychological element as to why you're not letting yourself commit fully to these guys and bailing and pulling the ripcord on the parachute before you get in too deep.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I just feel like I like have this picture of like the perfect guy for me, and it's kind of like if I sense one thing off about that, then I'll just be like, all right, well, I'm not going to waste my time anymore on that. So.
Are your parents still married?
Yeah, they're still married. They have a super happy, great relationship.
Have you been hurt really badly in the past by a boyfriend?
Oh, yeah, he hurt me pretty bad. So
that may be part of it. I mean, I sorry to go so psychological on you, but that might be part of it. It's just a fear of getting hurt again. I think we've all dealt with that fear and overcoming that fear, because once it happens to you once, man, it's tough. Yeah. And it's tough because you don't ever want to go through that again. So I committing fully is being completely vulnerable. You are putting your fragile self in their hands to do whatever they want to you, and it can be a very scary thing.
And it's like the fear of rejection kind of fades away when you're rejecting them first. You know, like by finding these negative things to push them away, you're kind of saving yourself.
You're in control, like you're doing it first.
And again, I do the same exact thing. It's something that I'm trying to work on. I think I've gotten better. I think, honestly, if you're 22, you still have a lot of time to figure it out. I'm 26 and still figuring it out. But I don't know. I think that once you find the right person for you, you're not going to be able to find any negative qualities that really kind of push you away. And like, obviously, the more guys that you meet that you are able to like pinpoint things that you don't like about them, then you can kind of continue to mold the perfect person for you as you meet more people.
Seems like we all just want the person that's going to make us laugh and that we want to climb on top of, right? Isn't that basically what we're all looking for?
That's so perfect.
Those two things, somebody that we're attracted to in that way and that can make us laugh. I think we can overlook a lot of stuff if we can find those two things.
Yeah, I think that's very fair.
I'm about to tweet that. That's great. I love that.
All right, Allie, well, good luck. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
You too.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Hey, Julie, thank you for calling in. This is Dean. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for waiting on hold for so long there. I'm sorry for the wait, but what question do you have?
My question is, so I'm 27 and I've never really had like a serious relationship. And my question is, how do I go from like the casually dating, because I've had, you know, the 1 to 2 month flings, to something more serious?
So a serious relationship to you is just more than 2 months?
Just dating, I would say.
Well, what do you think you're doing that hasn't allowed these relationships to progress like that? Is it something you're doing? Is it something they're doing?
I don't know. Sometimes, you know, I end things, sometimes they end it, sometimes it just fades away. I don't know what the problem is, but...
I think that, so you're 27, you haven't had a serious boyfriend. I think that you just have to kind of keep taking it slow and just kind of keep trying. I don't think that there's really going to be any one thing that kind of lets you get over that hump, unless there is like some major issue that either you have or that these guys keep having. But I think you just got to keep trying until you find that right guy.
Yeah, I feel like I just haven't met the right person yet.
I don't know. I don't think that you should put the pressure on finding someone that you're wanting to be in a long-term relationship with. I think it should just happen and kind of unfold naturally. But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the dating pool is like in Massachusetts.
Can I delve? Can I delve a little psychological delving? Because I enjoy this part.
Yeah.
So yeah. you're saying that you're with these guys a few months, and either they break up with you or you break up with them, right?
Right.
Have you had your heart broken, or has it always been like, yeah, okay, fine?
I don't think I've had my heart broken,
so
no.
You've never really been all in enough on these guys right. to really have it hurt when they break up with you. And similarly, you don't feel like, have you broken their hearts, you think?
There was one guy in grad school who I feel like took it pretty hard. Like, I wasn't as sad, but yeah, other than that, not really.
So I feel like you're putting up walls. I think there's a reason that you're not fully committing to these people or maybe allowing yourself to fully be involved. Because if you've never had your heart broken, that means you haven't really fallen for these guys. And yes, it's possible you just haven't met the right guy. But what's, are your parents still together?
No.
Was it messy?
No, I mean, it was a long time ago. They're both remarried though now.
But I'm guessing it was hard on you when it happened, when they split up?
Yeah.
So yeah, I wonder if there's something there. Like, you've seen the pain that can be caused by these relationships, and I wonder if there's something there that's not allowing you to go deeper.
Yeah, I feel like there's some truth in that.
I feel like it all goes back to our parents. Like, I feel every way we're all messed up, and I have daughters, and I wonder daily how I am messing up my daughters, because you really don't have a choice.
Huh?
You're messing them up in some way. You'll find out when they're grown-ups.
Right, but you're doing your best.
100%. I'm doing my best every day.
And I think at the end of the day, that's the most important
thing. Yes, of course. But it's just, you're influenced by them in so many ways that you don't even realize.
Right.
And the next thing you know, I mean, my parents are fantastic, but I know that I have issues because of them, because we all do.
Right.
So I wonder if there's something there. But also, I think maybe you haven't met the guy that's worth kind of jumping off the deep end with.
Yeah. I feel like it's both, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just need to be patient. Wait for that right guy. It's not going to happen. I've said this, I think, 50 times today. It's not going to happen overnight. I mean, but at the end of the day, like, yeah, you could meet the guy very, very soon. But
have you heard from that guy from grad school?
No, we don't really talk anymore now.
Okay, I wonder if that was the one that got away.
Maybe, I think the opposite. I got away from him.
But you're happy.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's good.
Interesting.
Okay.
All right, well, Julie,
yeah, I'm good.
Good luck. Again, I'm sure it's gonna flip, and you're gonna find that guy soon. Again, just don't put like an unrealistic expectation on it.
Right. Try to be open. Try to be open to what they have to offer. And like we said to the last caller, we're all just looking for somebody who can make us laugh and that we want to get in bed with.
Yeah.
And if we can find that, we can overlook a lot of other stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody's perfect.
Especially me.
Especially Dean Unger, who sucks at dating.
All right, Julie. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. This was really helpful.
All right. Take care. Hi, Suvetha.
Hi.
Hey, this is Dean. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm sorry for having you on hold there for so long. What's the question you have for me?
No problem. My question is, how was your dating like after you left Bachelor in Paradise?
How has my dating life been post Bachelor in Paradise? That's a great question that I've actually never been asked.
Hmm.
It's been, for the most part, non-existent, I would say. There have been certain dates that I've gone on. But it's definitely changed a lot from before going on the show to after going on the show. Like, I think that if I wanted to, I could be going on many more dates, but I don't have that yearning inside of me to do.
I'll go on a date with you.
You go on a date with me.
That's interesting though, because I would imagine that once you go on one of these shows, it's an embarrassment of riches. There's so many women in America that would love to go out with you rather than somebody who doesn't go on these shows. They just have their little community, the people they know from their lives.
Right.
But that can also be, it's too much almost, isn't it? It's too many options, too many possibilities. You don't know anybody, you don't know them at all.
There's a lot of that. It's a lot of, I'm a very reclusive and kind of like introverted person. So I don't necessarily, while I do well in social settings, I don't necessarily like to go out of my way to seek them out. And so I'd rather like spend a night in by myself than go out and meet, you know, 100 new people. But that to Mark's point, who's the producer on the podcast, he was, it definitely is the potential to meet a lot more women is there. Like the people that slide into my DMs on a daily basis, it definitely has obviously increased 100x% since going on the show. Right. But, I don't know. It seems like almost like when you have something so available to you, you kind of want to go the opposite direction and not necessarily go down that route. So that's kind of where I am. Like I've gone on a few dates. I still maintained, you know, friendships with a lot of the people that I had post or pre-show, but it really has been a non-existent dating life that I've had for the most part.
Oh, okay.
I'll bet a lot of guys, some, come off that show and just go on a mad tear.
Oh, so even like some of my closest friends here in Los Angeles, like sometimes I'll show them, like go through my DMs or something like that. And I know for a fact, like they would message every single one of them mm-hmm. back and try and hang out with every single one of them mm-hmm. for their own, I don't know, egotistical purposes, whatever it is. And I don't necessarily see why. I honestly, I'm kind of proud of myself for not really giving into that temptation
sure.
whatsoever.
And that's just not you.
Yeah, it's just not me. But yes, I definitely think that even some of my closest friends would take full advantage of that opportunity and just kind of start going crazy and have a heyday. But no, I mean, I'm not really like that. I just kind of want to find that one person that I can eat ice cream with and watch Seinfeld reruns on Friday night with. And I don't know. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, it would.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Bye. You sound so sweet. I've talked about them before. I'll talk about them again. I wear them all the time. Movement Watches. They're a local company here in Los Angeles. They just sprouted up recently. What's great about them is they are a very fashion-forward but very affordable watch company here. You'll see a lot of great-looking watches, but a lot of them will really break the bank. And especially with the holidays coming up, it's nice to be able to buy a lot of cool-looking things for maybe a little bit less money than you would be spending otherwise. So you can buy Movement watches basically starting just right around $95. If you were to go to a department store, you're probably looking to spend like $400 to $500 on a similar styled and quality watch. But the best thing about them is most of their bands are interchangeable. Their faces are interchangeable. They are super unique. So if you see someone wearing them, you're pretty much able to spot it right away. Unlike, you know, a lot of the generic watches out there. So like I said, you can get Movement watches starting at just $95. But if you go to movement.com/help, you can get 15% off with free shipping and free returns. So, you know, just because you like the way it looks doesn't mean you like the way it feels. If you go and order it, you can return it, swap it out for free. Find the watch that fits you perfectly. And again, if you go to movement.com/help, you can get 15% off any of their watches, which start at just $95. So if you are struggling to find gifts for whoever it is you're looking to give gifts to this year, I know it's always been difficult for me. And I'm a big gift giver. I like to give my friends gifts. I like to always surprise my siblings with gifts whenever I'm able to. Look no further than going to movement.com/help, MVMT.com/help. Not only do they have watches, but they also have sunglasses, men's and women's. I think they have like so many styles. Again, go to movement.com, MVMT.com/help. You'll get 15% off, free shipping, free returns. No better place to look for your holiday season gift giving than MVMT.com/help. Fun little tidbit about me and my life. So I'm sure by now, if you listen to this podcast, you see and hear how quickly I talk at times. I stumble over my words and I just, maybe when I get excited about things, I talk very, very quickly. And this is the dumbest story. I don't even know why I'm sharing it. But when I was in college and probably a little bit of high school as well, this same thing happened, but probably to a higher degree. And so I would constantly introduce myself and say, "Hi, I'm Dean." And people constantly thought I was saying, "Hi," or "Hi, it's Dean." Like when I'm saying, "What's your name?" Mm-hmm. People constantly thought I was saying, "Hi, I'm Steve." And so literally for like 4 or 5 years, 50% of the time when I would introduce myself as Dean, people would think my name was Steve. And then in college, it got to this point where every time I got drunk, like when I went out with my friends, I would just start introducing myself as Steve. And so I had this alternate drunk ego, which was Steve.
Steve could do whatever he wanted.
And, yeah. And now whenever I hear it played back, like talking to a caller, when it's like, "Hi, it's Dean, how are you?" I always in the back of my head think, it sounds like I'm saying Steve a little bit. I don't know, kind of a
dumb. To be clear, your name is Dean.
Yes.
Not Steve.
Yes.
I've got it.
Yes.
I have an email from Claire, and this is very interesting. Tanya, maybe you can weigh in on this as well, because this is an interesting question. Claire says, "I have a topic I think y'all might find interesting, and I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. I've dated a lot of people in my life, but very few of the dates have turned into relationships. I am another example of the common story. It just hasn't worked out with anyone. I'm not looking to get married tomorrow, but I'd love to find something a little more serious. I'd like to invest in someone and get the same in return. Here's the catch. I'm one semester and one bar exam away from being a practicing attorney, and I'm a stripper. How did you know that?"
I just get the vibe.
No way.
He just whispered to Tanya, "She's a stripper."
Yeah.
As I was reading this. Wow. She's about to be an attorney.
Yes.
But yeah, she's a stripper. I could go on and on about stripping, the stereotypes, the truths, and the lies, and how I truly believe that by stripping, I've made a profound difference in many lives, but I'll spare you that for now. My question is simply this. Would you date a stripper? Some guys say it's no problem. Other guys have a big problem with it. I get strong reactions about my choice to dance, and it has cost me friends, but it's also shown me people's true character. Oh. The bottom line. For men who are skeptical of dating me because of my job, I say this. I'm just like any other woman, but I can put my body into all sorts of contorted positions on a pole, and I can give a super sexy lap dance. And for my boyfriend, I'd even consider doing it for free.
Well, this is incredibly interesting.
I think it is.
I'm flustered even just thinking about it, to be honest.
All right, so
be the guy in the situation.
Yes, you meet a girl, you hit it off. She says, look, before we go any further, I need you to know I strip. It's helping me pay for law school. It's been great for me.
Secure, confident Dean wants to say that in theory, I could be totally comfortable with that. But in practice, I see my insecurities being not comfortable with it.
How about Steve? How would he be with it?
Steve, being drunk all the time, he would be perfectly fine with it. Wow, that's tough. I don't like to think that I'm a jealous person, but I do have jealous tendencies at times, and I do get maybe protective or territorial at times. I think it's just kind of in human nature to do that, especially when you care a lot about someone. But if Claire has never done anything to breach a boy's trust, she essentially is right by saying that she's just working another job. And if she views it solely as a job until she gets her law degree, passes the bar, then I don't necessarily see that much fault with it.
Okay, so that's a current stripper. What if you met a girl and said, look, I got to be honest with you. Just so you know, I used to be a stripper. Would that be a red flag?
I would be more comfortable with that than current. Practicing.
Because what's past is past.
Sure.
Practicing.
But then for me, it would come down to a very basic and probably very silly thing. It would drive me nuts that all these people have seen my girlfriend or wife naked.
Right.
That's tough.
I feel like that's such a special thing.
Right.
I feel fortunate anytime any woman, and it's been one for 20 years now, would show me her naked self. Like, it's such a vulnerable, giving thing. It's such a gift to receive as a male. It would drive me nuts that others have seen that.
What about the thought that all these other guys are, like, idolizing her and, like, wishing they could have her? None of them are getting her. And then at the end of the day, you're the one that gets to spend the rest of the night with her, sort of thing. Like, I think there's something to say about that.
That's true.
I want to say that this girl has I can't even imagine what she must be going through right now. So when I first moved to Los Angeles, about a week before I moved, I met a girl in Denver who was older. She's probably like 33, 34. No, I'm sorry. She was like 31. But she lived in Orange County going to, what school did she go to? Chapman University Law School, studying for the bar, similar to Claire. And the amount of stress and pressure that she was under to be in law school, studying for the bar, taking the bar, all that kind of stuff was so much for her. We couldn't be in a relationship. So for her to, for Claire to be doing that same exact thing, but also be having this element of her career, not her career, obviously, but her job on the side. Mm-hmm. There's so much going on. I feel like she shouldn't even be thinking about relationships right now.
Mm.
That's my take on it.
That's true. So I think that we've had nothing but kind of negative feedback for Claire at this point. But I do feel like the bottom line is it's going to take a special guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a certain guy. And maybe he has a certain, I don't know what the comparable job is on the guy side of things would be.
Stripper.
Maybe he's a stripper. Maybe he works at a strip club. Or maybe there's somebody in the circle more. But it's going to take a special guy because a lot of guys, I think, will have an issue with
that. And there's nothing wrong with the job that she does.
Right.
I don't think. I just think that there are a lot of guys that kind of see it as an obstacle to overcome at some point or another.
Because if she meets a guy that's down with it, the other problem is, like, what happens when you go home and he starts, like, throwing out the singles? Like, there's guys that don't know those kind of boundaries,
right,
you know? She doesn't want to do that when she gets home, you know?
That's fair.
I took out some of her email. She has had some bad experiences with guys when she's told them that she is a stripper.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They get too presumptuous, I guess?
Yeah, one assaulted her.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's been a real issue.
Maybe, honestly, Claire, if you're listening, I just wouldn't even share that until you become incredibly comfortable with the guy. Right?
No, that's terrible advice.
You think?
You think it should be an upfront thing? Like, hey, heads up. This is what I do for work.
Well, look, she's in law school. She's going to meet a lot of guys through law school. Is that something you could hold? How long could you hold that?
I would 100% keep it a secret.
For how many dates?
I'm not going to waver from this.
He like puts his hands like this. I'm not wavering.
I think, Claire, I wouldn't tell them until you become maybe committed in the relationship and you're comfortable sharing the information with whoever it is. I don't think you should share it with them. As long as it's only stripping and only dancing and it's not like other things. Like, as long as you're not.
Sure.
Dean, what's the one thing all these people have been telling us is the key to a successful relationship?
Communication, honesty, all that kind of stuff. I understand that.
Blah, 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 blah.
Dang, that's actually a very fantastic point.
You're saying. Telling her to lie, or not lie, but keep it from him.
It's a lie by omission. I think you could see it as that. But I just think that you're opening up slowly about yourself, and that's a very big thing that many people would be uncomfortable with. And it doesn't define who she is as a person. It doesn't make her any different as a person. But people will assume that by doing that, she is a certain type of way, even though she most clearly isn't.
It's true. And it's too bad because she deserves a lot of credit if she was able to put herself through law school this way. Like, that's tough to do. That's a lot.
Yes. Although on the flip side, to Tanya's point, it would be difficult to be dating someone for like 6 or 9 months, come to find out they've been stripping the whole time.
I'd be like, thanks. Bye. Like, I just want to dump you for the lying for 6 months.
That's such a hard situation.
It is.
I don't know.
Sorry, Claire.
We don't have great advice for you.
But I think it happens to everybody, you know? Like,
how badass is that? A stripping attorney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like a TV show in there somewhere.
You know, and that's another element that guys, we need to mention with guys.
What?
Guys will look past a lot. If you're a certain level of hot.
Sure.
That rhymed, and I'm kind of proud of it.
Yeah.
But the truth is, if she looks like the dream girl and she's just a knockout incredible, as I'm sure she is. Mm-hmm.
And incredibly intellectual if she's...
Yeah, she's smart. Her. She's the whole package. Mm-hmm. Things are turning around in my mind for Claire. Maybe this is okay. I don't know. Maybe we're just insecure. Maybe guys are going to see this for what it is. She's right. A hustler. She's smart. She does what she's got to do. And she's incredibly attractive.
I want to meet Claire in person. I demand Claire comes to the
studio.
Next time.
Claire, we're in Burbank, California.
Well, I hope she can take some semblance of a takeaway from that.
That's tough.
Here's an anonymous email. Hi, Dean. I dated the guy I thought I was going to marry for 3.5 years.
Oh, preach, girl.
Sadly, it ended. And I was really hurt. Yeah, I'm glad you're here for this, Tanya. Just a few months later, I found out he was in another serious relationship with someone new, someone he became friends with a month before our relationship ended. Came as a surprise, and it made it harder to move forward. We broke up 2 years ago. I've gone on a few dates since then, but it's hard finding someone new when you thought you were going to be married to someone else. Since the creation of Instagram stories about 1.5 years ago, his new girlfriend has watched every single one of my stories.
Wow.
I believe I met her once before we broke up, and she doesn't follow me on Instagram.
She just stalks her.
She then has gone on to watch all of my friends' stories that I've tagged or shown on my Instagram stories. It doesn't make any sense. This means she goes to my account and watches my stories and also stalks my friends. She's the one who ended up with my ex. I just don't get why she does this, and it makes me upset every time I see she's been on my profile. Do I block her? That seems excessive and makes me look crazy. But doesn't she know that I can see that she watches every one of my stories? Help! Thanks for the advice.
Tanya, the floor is yours.
Okay. This is what I would do. What was her name?
Her name was, Anonymous.
Oh, okay. Anonymous.
Beautiful name.
Beautiful. So it's just flips right off the tongue. What I would do is whatever is going to make you happy. So, yes, do I think blocking this new girlfriend is excessive? Yes. But if it irks you every single time you see her name pop up on your story, then block her. Who cares? You know, she's nobody she's not making you happy by any means. So if it's going to make you happy, I'm all for doing the block. Block her and don't even think twice about it.
What's her mindset? Not Anonymous, the girl who keeps stalking Anonymous's Instagram. What is she thinking?
You know, I don't know, because I've never been like that girl that if I'm in a new relationship with somebody, I'm not stalking their ex's profiles. That's just not me. That's just not who I am. So I don't know like what that mindset is, like what she's looking for. Although I have been the girl that when you break up with someone, your boyfriend gets the new girlfriend, you stalk the new girlfriend because mm-hmm. you're kind of thinking like, mm-hmm. oh, well, what is it about them that... So maybe it is the flip side. Like, what is it about them that's attracting your ex?
I think it's similar. I think it's an insecurity. I think maybe she thinks that Anonymous is maybe prettier than she is.
Right. Or like enjoying her life more.
Yeah. And I think she is afraid that he will still have feelings for her. And so she's kind of obsessed with her.
Maybe she's just yearning for a friendship from Anonymous.
I doubt that. But I think what this, okay, I think what Anonymous should do is I think she should just block the new girlfriend so it'll stop making her anxious or angry inside. And then I think she needs to move forward. And she really, like, I think 2 years is not a long time to get over a 3.5 year relationship that you thought you were going to marry.
What's the rule? Isn't it supposed to be a month for every year you were together?
It's supposed to be half the time that you spent together.
So she's, by that math,
she's just getting over it at this point.
She should be by now.
A half? That seems excessive to me.
I think your
heart. I like
Mark's
rule more.
Your heart. Well, that's probably, it's actually probably different for women and for men.
Could
I
be.
Think. But for girls, it's half the relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that she really needs to try dating and like really put herself out there and just and cut all ties and anything that reminds her of her ex.
Sure. And obviously his current girlfriend reminds her of her ex.
Yeah.
I think so. I think blocking is more for Anonymous because mm-hmm. then she won't see her ex's girlfriend be looking at her stories.
Yes.
Less so for her ex, for his girlfriend to be looking at her stories. Like she doesn't care
right.
so much, but she just wants to see her name.
It takes the stress out of Anonymous's life, and you're yeah. really doing the new girlfriend a favor.
Yeah.
She can stop obsessing so much you.
Here's it's a win-win.
Here's the thing with blocking is, I mean, I have multiple Instagram accounts. I have my public account. I have a private account that I'm only friends with, follow friends, and friends only follow me. I have a help I suck at dating account. So just because my Deanie Babies account blocks someone or is blocked by someone doesn't mean I can't get on another account and go look at
right,
the...
Right, but then Anonymous won't see her name popping up. Does that make sense?
Yes.
She'd exactly. go private.
So that's what I'm saying. It's more for Anonymous' sake than for yeah, anything else.
Exactly.
Yes.
What about going private though?
Yes, and go private. I think that she should definitely go private.
And for the girlfriend, the current girlfriend that's lurking, if you look at Instagram stories from the web, no one can see that you're watching it. I'm just throwing that out.
Oh,
there.
I didn't even know you could do that.
there are ways.
Huh.
Yeah. So there's things to be learned on both sides of this.
Gosh, yeah. Isn't that so funny that this is like an actual conversation?
Yeah,
like,
we're burning calories figuring it out.
Yeah. It's so funny because I was kind of dating this guy very briefly over the summer and his ex-girlfriend was looking at my stories. I never met the ex-girlfriend. I've never even seen her, but her name started popping up and I was like, why is this random ex-girlfriend? Huh. And I've dated it very briefly. Yeah. And I'm like, it's just so crazy to me that people have this fascination and want to like, I don't know.
But you have the want to know who's looking at your stories and you're finding it out.
No.
It's I'm just saying it's kind of a two-way street.
Right. But it pops up. It's always, I don't know what the algorithm is, but she was always like the very first person at the top.
She's the first person to watch it.
Yeah.
I don't think I've looked at who views my Instagram stories in forever.
You can't see that when you're like scrolling to the end to see it posted?
I just see a number. I don't think I've ever clicked on the number to see who it is.
Oh, I see.
You know? So maybe, I don't know, maybe I have a lot of creepy exes out there that are stalking me.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating.
We learned a lot today.
Tanya, always great to have her weigh in. You, the listeners, are obviously what makes this podcast so great. So at the end of the day, big thanks to you guys for tuning in, for sending your emails, for having the phone calls with us.
isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com.
That's the email address. If you feel like sharing your story like Claire, if you feel like calling in like Anna, we would love to hear more from you guys. Like I said, it's always great to be able to mix in real life events with this podcast. So please tune in next week for another episode of Help, I Suck at Dating, because maybe then I'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help, I Suck at Dating with Dean Unglert on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.